Thank you. You can be seated. You'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel and chapter 9. We're really, in case you haven't looked at your sermon notes, we're really biting off a big chunk this morning. 1 Samuel 9 through 11. But we want to look at some of the narrative events that were recorded about the appointment of the first king. So we'll see this morning the king appointed, King Saul. He was a choice individual. There's a head and shoulders above anyone else. Tall man, tall, dark, no doubt Jewish and handsome, according to the passage. And he was an ideal person for being appointed king. Let's look at some of our passages. In 1 Samuel 8:22, you may remember last time that we left off with a meeting that the elders of Israel had with Samuel, God's judge. And there at the meeting, they had demanded a king. And Samuel was frustrated with this group of people. He had faithfully served, and the nation of Israel had lived under what we call a theocracy for around 400 years. And that means that God was their king, that God ruled, and that at times of military need or certain things, as it was needed, these judges would be raised up by God, and they came from these different tribes of people. And so you had this confederacy of 12 tribes of the sons of Jacob, and they were dwelling in the land that God had promised with great freedom, because these tribes had independence, and the different families had their private property that God had allotted to each family, and the taxes were very little, and it was a pretty good deal, except for times when these groups and tribes of people and nations would come through the land and pillage the land. And these things would take place. They would happen when Israel's heart would turn from God and they would fall into idolatry. So this had gone on cyclically for 400 years, where Israel would be blessed and they would live well in the land with prosperity and with wealth and with all of the benefits of the land that God had promised them, and their hearts would turn cold and they would fall into idolatry, and God would discipline them and bring in these tribes of people. Rather than dealing with the problem, they chose to try to figure out man's solution to the problem. Okay, so, and this is kind of key to what we're going to look at this morning, because it's frequent that we're looking at what is the will of God in this matter, and what would God have us to do? And oftentimes, because of the sinfulness of our heart, we push aside the things that need to be taken care of in order to find some human solution or some path that we might take or go our own way, whereby we can have things the way that we want them, and in a sense be the Lord of our own lives and call the shots and be in control. And this was the problem with Israel. But as they had this meeting, as we saw in chapter 8, the Lord God said to Samuel, "Listen to their voice and appoint them a king." So Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Go every man to his city." And that's where we left off. So they had a meeting at Ramah. They met with Samuel. They said, "We want a king because these guys are coming in. The Philistines are oppressing us, and we need someone to lead our battles. We need someone in charge." And so God says, Samuel gets angry, and God says, "Well, Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me from being their king. But give them a king, appoint them a king." And so that's where we left off. And here's our outline for today, kind of as we work through the narrative in which the king is identified, and ultimately he's confirmed to be the king, the first king of Israel. So this king is appointed by God, and we're going to look at some of the events surrounding that. We want to ask the question this morning, as to what and how we can know God's will in light of some of these things. I'd like to look at these passages in that light. When you enter the land which the Lord your God, this is from Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 and 15. Instruction was given through Moses about the appointment of the king. And that instruction is recorded in Deuteronomy 17. Number of verses there, but specifically it says, when you enter the land which the Lord God gives you and possess it and live in it, and you will say, I will set a king over me like the nations who are around me. So Moses recognized this was going to happen, and God predicted that it was going to take place. And it says, you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your countrymen. You shall set as a king over yourselves. You may not put a foreigner over yourselves who is not your countryman. Okay, so there were directions, there were certain instructions about who this king was to be and the appointment of this king. And so God gave them certain things that were to happen. But the key here is that you shall not set a king over you whom the Lord your, or you shall set a king over you whom the Lord your God shall choose. So the appointment must come at God's bidding. And so we ask the question, how do you find God's will? Well, here's Samuel, and he says, okay, God, and he dismisses the people, and then there are certain events that unfold. And there's some real practical things in here that we'd like to look at this morning in regard to how we can understand events in our lives. And how that we might be able to see and explore God's will and God's leading in such matters. We're going to look at these verses and see how God raised up and appointed Saul, and it was confirmed, and there were certain things that took place in regard to that. So let's look in verses, in chapter 9, verses, actually the whole verse there, whole chapter there, and identifying the king. All right, look at verse 1. We can read that together as we go. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphahiah, the son of a Benjamite, a mighty man of valor. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice and handsome man, and there was not a more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up, he was taller than any of the people. Okay, so here in verses 1 and 2, we have the introduction of Saul. Saul was a choice person. His father, and those that were before me, was of a family that they were designated as a mighty man of valor. And that can mean that this person was a man of property. It can mean that this person had great courage. In fact, he was probably involved in some of the battles, some of the wars that took place. And it's very likely that he was not only a man of property and a man respected in the community, but he also had military skill and courage. And so he was a mighty man of valor, and he had a son, and his son's name was Saul, and he was a choice person. So God didn't appoint, he appointed the cream of the crop, in a sense. He picked someone that Israel would look at and say, this is a good choice. It would just be that you would look at him and say, well, this guy looks like a king. He's head and shoulders above in height anyone else in Israel. He's handsome, and he fits the bill as a young man here. So, and then we go on, look at verse 3. There it says, and he passed. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And so Kish said to his son, Saul, Take now with you one of the servants, arise and go search for the donkeys. Okay, so we have the donkeys of Kish on a certain day take off. And so Saul gets sent out on a little hike here to find the donkeys. He's going to search for the donkeys in light of his father's request in subjection to his father here. Saul goes off. I'm sure there's a lot of other things that Saul would like to be doing with his day. And you know how donkeys are. They're just stubborn. So he takes off. Verse 4, and he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalishah, but they did not find them. These places, this place is not known. We don't know exactly where that is, but they didn't find the donkeys. The donkeys were nowhere in sight, nowhere to be found. And so they go out on the journey. Verse 4 there continuing, but they were not there. And then he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them. So they're out here wandering around through the thickets in the heat of the day. And then in verse 5 it says, when they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, come and let us return, lest my father cease to be concerned about the donkeys and become anxious for us. So Saul, being thoughtful about his family and his dad back home, realizes that they've spent a day out looking for these donkeys and can't find them. So it's time for them to get back, unless they become anxious for them. Verse 6, and he said to them, behold, now there is a man of God in this city, and the man is held in honor, and all that he says surely comes true. Now let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us about our journey on which we have set out. Then Saul said to the servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the men? For the bread is gone from our sack, and there's no present to bring the men of God. What do we have? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have in my hand a fourth of a shekel of silver, and I will give it to the men of God, and he will tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he used to say, come and let us go to the seer. For he who is called a prophet now was formerly called a seer. And then Saul said to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the slope to the city, they found young women going out to draw water and said to them, is the seer here? And they answered him and said, he is, see, he is ahead of you. Hurry now, for he has come into the city today, for the people have a sacrifice on the high place today. As soon as you enter the city, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice, and afterward those who are invited will eat. Now therefore, go up, for you will find him at once. Okay, so here we have the unfolding of some of the events that take place in Saul meeting Samuel and the appointment of the king. And it starts out on a regular day here. Okay, so look at verse 14 there in your text. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, we do have some Bibles in the pews in front of you there. You can take one of those out, and because we're going to be reading a lot of Scripture this morning, no doubt, so that might be helpful to you. Verse 14, I'm going to summarize some of this, so we're not going to read three chapters this morning, but did want to give you the introduction to the events taking place. In verse 14 then, so they went up into the city, and as they came into the city, behold, Samuel was coming out toward them to go up to the high place. Okay? Now, a day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, saying, about this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. And he shall deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have regarded my people, because their cry has come unto me. So there's some great things here to look at in light of the events. I don't want you to lose sight of what's taking place here, because we're exploring the details of how the first king of Israel was appointed. And he was on a mission to find donkeys. It was a regular day. And yet God had turned the events, made certain plans. He had spoken to the prophet. And there was an appointment that Saul had that he was not aware of. And so in verse 17, when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "Behold the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall rule over my people." And then Saul approached Samuel in the gate and said, "Please tell me where the seer's house is." Okay? And Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And in the morning I will let you go. And listen to this, I will tell you all that is on your mind." Okay? So that's curious. But here we have the introduction of the king. And we have this chance, what seems to be a chance meeting of Saul going out to pursue finding his donkeys, and his servant knowing about a prophet who was in a certain city nearby, to which they just by chance went into the city, and by chance, as Saul was entering into the city at just the right moment, Samuel was coming out to celebrate the sacrifice. And so what seemed to be a regular, ordinary day, an event that unfolded in the life of this man, turned out to be the time in which he was anointed. Okay, so let's look then, or let's consider these verses in verse 20 here. "And as for you, your donkeys which were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind upon them, for they have been found. And for whom is all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for you and for all your father's house?" And Saul answered and said, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest tribe of Israel, and my family is least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me in this way?" And so basically, to summarize here, Saul and Samuel, they go up to the place, the high place there in the city, and they have a feast. And Saul sits down with Samuel and with his servants, the people that were gathered. And there was a special place for Saul at this feast. And then, of course, they had the feast, and Saul stayed overnight with Samuel and left out early that next morning. Look at down at verse 27. "And as they were going down to the edge of the city, Samuel said to Saul, 'Say to thy servant that he may go ahead of us and pass on, but you remain standing now that I may proclaim the word of God to you.'" And it's here in chapter 10 and verse 1 that Samuel took the flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance?" So we're looking at a number of events here in our narrative in which Saul starts out on an ordinary day, wakes up, the donkeys are gone, his father sends him on a mission, and he makes his trudge out through the hill country of Ephraim and does his circles looking for these donkeys, and comes by the city of Ramah, and certain events unfold, and he ends up being anointed as king of Israel. What a day. What a day that must have been for Saul. And as we see, Saul is a humble man. He says that his response is, when Samuel brings up in verse 20, "It's for you for whom the desire of all Israel is set, and it is for you that in all of your father's household." Okay, so this is pretty big stuff. I mean, this is a big thing to happen on an ordinary day. And Saul, being a humble man, replies, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families?" And you may remember, just going back in some of the history of Israel, if you go back to the book of Judges, it was the tribe of Benjamin in which the homosexual men of that city came, and there was a sojourner there, and they came up to the house and sought to have sexual relations with him. It was a mess. These were God's people. This is the tribes of Israel, and the man, the sojourner, threw out his concubine into the middle of this city, and she was raped to death. And then, as a result, the man sent made a sacrifice and sent it up to all the tribes of Israel and told the story of what happened. And so they gathered together, this massive force from Israel, and came against the tribe of Benjamin. It was this tribe. And what happened, the end result was that they were almost completely wiped out. It made them the smallest tribe in Israel. There were only a few left after the battle, and they were weeping. The whole nation wept because Benjamin, this tribe, had almost been annihilated. And so they made these plans, worked out ways to get wives for these men and try to build the tribe back up again. And Saul was part of this tribe, the tribe of Benjamin, the least. Now, this is significant for a number of reasons, because these tribes were a confederation, and the reputation that you had and the influence that you had was significant as far as for being able to pull the tribes together and to have an army and to lead men. It needed to be someone that was pretty pretty significant influence. And so you would think that it would have been chosen from one of the bigger tribes or one of the tribes that had more people and more influence. But God chose the least of the tribes, and it was the tribe of Benjamin. And so Saul is anointed. There's a lot of things that we could talk about here, but let's move on. And so I just ask you the question, how would you like to be given a surprise anointing party and find yourself in the middle of your grimy work day, you come to a meeting where you're going to be anointed king? This is what happened to Saul. No doubt it kind of took him by surprise. It was not something that he woke up that morning and realized it was going to happen. It's kind of interesting how these events unfolded. But this guest of honor was not extended an invitation. He walks into the city, he meets Samuel, he says, "Come with me." You know, and they go up to the high place in the city and have a banquet in his honor. And he's given the heavy portion. I want to speak to you just a moment about God's providence, about how events sometimes unfold in our lives, how God works oftentimes, because it's something that we all deal with from time to time. Well, what is God's will in this matter? Or how do we know that God is leading us this way? And there's some good principles here, just some things that we want to lay aside. And what I would suggest that you do, you can make some notes under each part of your sermon outline here, but you might want to flip to the back and jot down some of these principles that we can look at in terms of finding God's will. And these might be helpful to you in the future when you have to make a decision about a particular job or some direction that God might be taking you. There might be some concepts here that would be helpful to you. Let's look at number one, chasing donkeys. Okay, God's will often comes in our daily responsibilities, doesn't it? It was just a regular day for Saul. It was his dad telling him that donkeys were gone, and Saul, in obedience to his father, taking off and doing what Saul needed to do. And being faithful in that, taking care of his daily responsibilities. You're going to find God's will as you learn by faith to walk before God, taking care of your daily responsibilities. The principle in Scripture is he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve and serve and give my life a ransom for many. And so he taught us the principle of service. And so those that are called of God are people of service, people that take their daily responsibilities and are faithful in the things that God has given to them. Okay? If you haven't been, if we're not faithful in the things that God gives to us, then we really are not open for God entrusting to us bigger things, right? That's a simple principle, understandable. We've talked about that before. But being faithful, taking care of your daily responsibilities, is the first step in knowing God's will. Secondly, where providence takes us, okay? Here goes Saul. He had no clue, but into the hill country of Ephraim, about his daily responsibilities, as he's going about his way, there should be, with God's people, a certain anticipation that we have. An anticipation that even in the mundane things of life, like chasing donkeys, that God may very well have a plan for our day that doesn't exactly fit into our agenda and wasn't something that we necessarily planned on, right? So that's pretty interesting. But providence takes us sometimes on journeys that we don't know exactly where we're going. Simply a walk of faith, trusting God. Okay, number three, in a faithful and sweaty, grimy service, we find God's will. That's the way he does it. I don't know why, but God is going to entrust things to those who are faithful, those who have continued in their service. Number four, through personal contacts. It's interesting that he had a servant that just happened to know about a man of God, a prophet or a seer here in the city of Ramah. And so he happened to, as they were going by this place, just by chance, they happened to, and he just happened to have this servant. Think about it. Think about how it connects to one thing connects to another. What if the servant hadn't have been there? No. Well, that does not happen in God's sovereignty. You see, God's will is, and his sovereignty is worked out, and all the details are there. And, you know, the wonderful thing about the Christian life is we get to rest in that, don't we? Isn't that awesome? Because God, who is sovereign, has control of our day and those events. But one link, if it weren't there, you know, there could be a problem. And yet, God happened to be that the particular servant that went with Saul happened to know of this particular prophet in this particular city, and they just happened to be going by there. This is all the sovereignty of God. It's how it works. And it works that way in your life as well. Think about it. No, it's not by chance. The schools that you went to, the parents that you were born to, the events that unfolded in your life, none of those things are by chance. God is in control, and he has a plan in it, and we can rest in it and have anticipation of what the day might bring. There's a great deal of joy, inexpressible joy to God's people when we walk in faith. So some personal contact may be the link in God's sovereign purposes and direction for your life. Good principles. Number five, from the counsel of godly men. So here he goes to Samuel. I wanted to kind of emphasize there. He says, eat with me today. In the morning I will let you go. And he says, I will tell you all that is on your mind. Okay? So I don't know what Saul was thinking. I don't know if he was dreaming about being a king. But I know that all of Israel knew the events that had taken place, that they were under the oppression of these Philistines. And so they were troubled about trying to figure out, trying to work out a solution for their country and for their lives so that they might have some peace and some prosperity and be able to live life. And so it's good to go to godly men for godly counsel. Samuel had answers. He had direct things that answered the questions, the big questions on the heart. And it came from God's word and God's will and God's purposes. And so seek out counsel from godly men. Number six, according to the timing of God's providence. Providence is a wonderful thing.